I think some of what I'm about to say has been referred to in various ways, but what I will try to do in the next few minutes is to provide five general points on the what I see as the main differences between modern genocide and genocide as it occurred before the modern era. Genocide, after all, the term itself was coined by Raphael Lemkin in 1944. The phenomenon itself existed long before that. I will then try to provide five points which will be related somewhat to what you just heard on what I believe are the main constraints on implementing the Genocide Convention of 1948 and why the post-Genocide Convention era has not seen the kind of action that was hoped for at the time. So let me start with the phenomenon of modern genocide. I would say that there are five main issues involved. The first is that with the emergence of nationalism in Europe, people came to be thought of as belonging to a certain group, whether because they belonged to an ethnic, they had common ethnic or common racial origins, or because of common social and political affinities. This, when genocide came to be exercised in the modern era, played an important role. A result of nationalism was the creation of the nation state. The nation state, which had not existed before the 19th century, meant that people defined themselves as belonging to a nation whose very identity was associated directly with an ethnic or racial or national group. Third, in the same period, in the 19th century, science came to play an extraordinarily important role in a way that it hadn't before. That meant, among other things, particularly toward the late 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, that humanity started being divided by scientists, not by bigots, into groups that had different origins, different racial origins, groups that had innately different qualities. And one result of that was quite a, so to speak, natural result, that some groups were considered to be superior to others, that some groups were seen as having a greater right to life than others. Fourth, this is also the period of tremendous European colonial imperial expansion, in which Europeans encountered peoples which belonged to, as they saw it, different racial, ethnic, cultural groups, and therefore could be also valued less or more according to these origins. Finally, this was, of course, as a result of the developments in science, this was an era of very rapid expansion in military and industrial technology, which facilitated this kind of tremendous imperial expansion by European countries. Now, the result of all this was that the crucial element in modern genocide was not only that it was more effective in killing very large numbers of people without any pre-modern precedent, but also that it was often presented, and this was mentioned earlier, it was often presented also as an act of great political, even of moral justification. That is, the argument being that those who were racially or culturally or politically or technologically superior had a right, sometimes had a duty, to eradicate those groups which stood in the way of progress, of power, and of expansion. That is, that what we had, and this was not only bigots, this was not only politicians, it included large numbers of academics, scientists, writers, provided legitimization for genocide as an act which was above conventional morality. That is, that was justified by the laws of nature and by the laws of science. So this is, to my mind, an important introduction for us when we think about how then we try to curb modern genocide and why we're having such great difficulties in doing so. Now, we know, of course, that attempts to curb genocide usually occurred in the wake of great military catastrophes, wars, massacres, ethnic cleansing, and so forth. The first time this happened on an international basis was in the wake of World War II. The second, a major attempt, was in the wake of what happened in the former Yugoslavia and in Rwanda. These are the two main turning points, if we can call them that, after 1945. But there are major constraints on implementing the Genocide Convention of 1948, and I will very briefly go through them, and hopefully we can discuss that in greater detail later. As has already been referred to here several times, the Genocide Convention introduced the concept of intervention in the domestic affairs of other states. This contradicts the fundamental, if you like, the most sacred element of international relations, that is, state sovereignty. All signatories of the Genocide Convention are committed to preventing genocide, to trying to stop genocide, and to punishing those who have carried out genocide. The problem is, of course, that if you try to stop genocide, and one of the means that you wish to use is military means, and that genocide occurs within the borders of a sovereign state, then you could also be seen as waging a war of aggression. And indeed, you might actually be using arguments of genocide so as to justify a war of aggression. That is a fundamental contradiction between the Genocide Convention and the fundamental concept of international relations. There are many examples of that. Just to cite one example at the very beginning of discussions on this issue, in the Nuremberg Tribunal, was mentioned earlier, the notion of crimes against humanity was subsumed under crimes of war. That is, Germany or Germans could not be indicted for crimes against humanity before 1939. Crimes against humanity had to be subsumed under crimes of war or crimes against the peace. And the reason was especially this reason. That is, that once Germany began waging a war of aggression, then it was committing war crimes in which also crimes against humanity was committed. And this has remained a fundamental difficulty in applying the Genocide Convention. Second, the Genocide Convention and the concept of crimes against humanity assume that citizens of a sovereign state who are obeying the orders of their government and the laws of their state may at the same time be committing crimes against humanity. One of the most interesting legal aspects, and I do not have legal training, I'm not a lawyer, but one of the most interesting aspects of this legal conundrum is the trials that were held in Germany particularly in the late 1950s and early mid-1960s, in which, although Germany became a signatory to the Genocide Convention, it did not accept the idea of this applying to before the convention. And therefore, Nazi perpetrators or people who were indicted of Nazi crimes could be tried only on the basis of the German criminal law, that is, of committing individual crimes rather than committing crimes of state. That created an entirely convoluted manner of speaking about Nazi perpetrators in the 1950s and 1960s, which meant that they had to be people who carried out excess crimes, Excesstäter. That is, if they followed the orders of the SS, if they did precisely what they were ordered to do, then usually they could only be seen as complicit in crimes rather than as murderers. So the fundamental problem in genocide is that genocide is a state crime and that it may be carried out legally within the framework of that state. Third, the Genocide Convention assumes a notion of universal jurisdiction. That is, that if one commits a crime, as was just mentioned now, anywhere in any country, one could be tried for that crime in any other country that is a signatory to this convention. And the problem with this, of course, is not merely that the ICC, the International Criminal Court, which had already been recommended in the Genocide Convention of 1948, took decades to be created, but that the single country that can act as the enforcer of that, as a policeman, is not part of it. And there is not, a great likelihood that it will become part of that in the near future, and that is the United States. Fourth, the Genocide Convention's call for intervention in the case of a threat of genocide or an ongoing genocide can and often is said to contradict national interests. One example of this was, of course, what happened in Rwanda. The manner in which the United States government tried to speak about Rwanda as being anything but genocide, because the U.S. was by then already a signatory to the Genocide Convention, and having, if it were to recognize that as genocide, it was incumbent upon it to act in some way, which it did not want to do. Now, why did the United States not want to act? Because the argument by the U.S. government was that it was not in the national interest to do so. Why was it not in the national interest to do so? Because there was no public interest in what was happening in Africa. This was shortly after the American debacle in Africa, where several, 18, I believe, American Rangers were killed. And therefore, the question of national interest always plays a role in any decision to intervene or not to intervene. And finally, and this, I think, to my mind, is one of the most disturbing issues. One can say that, especially in democracies, those citizens who are most likely to condemn genocide are often those who are most likely, and rightly so, to be disturbed, worried, or oppose any military intervention in genocide. The result of this is often that we find ourselves, on the one hand, listening to the advocates of national interest, who will, in most cases, be opposed to intervention because intervention, say, in Darfur does not, as you heard earlier, serve what is conceived to be the national interest by various governments, in fact, by no government right now. And those who believe that something has to be done but are afraid and are rightly afraid that using military means, which is often the only way to put an end to genocide, is a very blunt tool. And that in the use of military means, even if they're used with the best intentions, often many innocent people get hurt or get killed. This conundrum between those who support action, but at the same time are suspicious of their own governments using military means, has often ended up with what we see, I believe, as the largest motivation, general motivation, for genocide, which is impunity. That is, that the people who commit genocide know that they get away with it, and that historically, most nations, in the last 150 years, got away with murder. Thanks.